to speak today about a bill that we have filed in the Massachusetts State House called the Act to Improve Asthma Management. It is a bill that seeks to improve asthma outcomes in the state of Massachusetts by ensuring access to preventative health care and education services. The partner with me on this presentation is Lisa Mannix. She is in the Office of Child Advocacy at Children's Hospital Boston. There are quite a few Children's Hospital Boston people here. And I want to thank Children's Hospital Boston because they've really given us her staff time. She spent time before coming to Children's Hospital at the State House as a legislative aide, and she's really helped us draft legislation and really navigate the system in Massachusetts. I want to say a little bit about who the Boston Urban Asthma Coalition is. We are primarily an advocacy organization. We work to bring a strong community voice to policy issues that impact their community and their asthma. We do a lot of work in the communities that have the highest asthma hospitalization rates. We have a leadership, support, and training program for parents who have children with asthma. Half of our board is parents who have children with asthma, and they co-chair all of our committees. So we really have worked hard to make sure that we're representing the needs of the community that we're affecting and that we're advocating for. So hopefully in this presentation I'll give you an overview of asthma in Massachusetts. It's very similar to asthma in a lot of other states, a lot of other urban areas. Talk about quality improvement efforts in our state and why Boston Urban Asthma Coalition, a local city coalition, is taking on state legislation, and then what we hope to accomplish with our legislation. So this is something that we hear from parents a lot, is when we're out in the community, they don't understand the basics of managing their asthma. We do monthly sort of open-ended dinners. We provide childcare. We provide food. We talk to parents. We bring a doctor from one of the hospitals to their home. And the thing that they don't seem to understand very well is what the different medications are, how to recognize the symptoms and signs of when their child is in distress. And we're just shocked that they don't have this basic information that they need to be using to care for their children's asthma. And we started to think about, why is this? Why are they lacking information that is out there that should be part of what they know when they're caring for their children? So Massachusetts has, I think we all compete for the highest asthma rate in the country, but I'm going to say we have some of the highest adult asthma rates in the country. Our adults who currently have asthma is 9.6%. Compared to the U.S. rate of 8%. Adults who have lifetime asthma is 14% compared with the U.S. rate, so that's 1 in 7 in Massachusetts, and in the United States is 1 in 10. 10.3% of our children currently have asthma compared with the U.S. rate of 8.9%, and our asthma rates are highest among low-income communities. We have a high rate of preventable hospitalization. It's the fifth leading cause in the state for preventable hospitalization, which is similar. Our hospitalization rate is similar to other national rates. In Boston, it's much higher. It's the second reason for preventable hospitalization. And there are health disparities as far as who ends up in the emergency room needing care for their asthma. There has been some movement in Massachusetts to improve the quality of care. Most of the quality of care initiatives in Massachusetts have focused on better diagnosis, better monitoring, mostly looking at the use of the Asthma Action Plan to improve asthma outcomes, and better prescribing of the right medications. And those initiatives have been successful, so they have had improved outcomes. The Massachusetts Health Quality Partners is an organization in our state that is basically there to inform consumers about how their doctors rank on basic standards of care. So you could look up your doctor, how is my doctor or his practice rank for asthma care. And they also released statewide reports. They found that our Massachusetts doctors rank below the 90th percentile in measures for asthma care, and that in 75% of the cases, doctors are prescribing appropriate medication. We have made less progress, however, on ensuring that patients get the asthma education that they need, and also that insurers are involved in in-home environmental assessments and in some in-home environmental interventions. So I just want to say a little bit about the cost of asthma. This is, say more about the report where I'm taking a lot of these statistics for in a minute. But if you look at the total cost of asthma in the United States, in 2004 we spent $16.1 billion on asthma, direct and indirect costs. Half of that pie chart, you could argue, is preventable. Lost school days, lost work days, mortality, people who end up in the hospital, people who have ER visits. If we all agree that a lot of this should not be happening, half of that pie chart shouldn't be there, and maybe we need to redistribute some of the costs for asthma. So I have with me today this report. I'll also give you the website where you can find this report. The Asthma Regional Council recently released a report called Investing in Best Practices for Asthma, a Business Case for Education and Environmental Interventions. And basically what they did is look at, did a literature review of controlled studies and different kinds of studies that looked at the efficacy and the cost savings from asthma education and also environmental interventions. And Lori Stillman, who's the director of the Asthma Regional Council, is here. So if you have direct questions about that, she can answer some questions for you. But I'm going to just give you a snapshot of what they've found. Overall, based on a literature review of 16 research studies on asthma education, they found that patient education resulted in fewer emergency room visits and hospital stays, better quality of life for the people who received asthma education, fewer lost work and school days, and greater lung function. And that targeting, if you have limited resources, targeting that education to the high-risk patients led to the greatest cost savings. They also found that environmental interventions make sense from a cost standpoint and also a quality of life standpoint. They reviewed three research studies. The column on the left looks at all the interventions that they all offered and then some of the interventions offered by others. And overall, they found that those interventions resulted in fewer urgent care visits, fewer symptom stays, reduced use of rescue medication, and home-based education and trigger reduction services were overall cost-effective. Now, I've been to some of the talks about looking at home assessment, home interventions, and it seems like, I think in the next couple of years, what we'll be looking is that you can't sort of just have asthma education. You can't have a separate in-home environmental assessment and a separate environmental interventions, but that maybe we need to pair the education with environmental assessment, with environmental interventions in the home, and then that would be the most efficacious for the people who have asthma. Okay, and I only have 3 minutes, so I gotta run. Through that study, we also got information about what our managed care organizations are doing in Massachusetts. So briefly, Medicaid primary care clinician plan did not reimburse for asthma education at all. In fact, it had to happen in the 15-minute physician visit. They provided no nurse case management, so if you had asthma, had a case management issues, you were unfortunate because there was no one to sort of in the health system to help you navigate that. They did provide for environmental interventions, but you had to know that they provided it. They don't advertise it, and you have to show proof of medical necessity. Medicaid managed care organizations were actually the leader on asthma education and environmental investments. They reimbursed for clinical education, group education sometimes, and telephonic support. They also had contracted vendors to provide home assessments and some limited coverage for supplies. Commercial health plans, they would reimburse for an education visit, had to be on a separate day, so you had to ask the patient to come back on a separate day. And if the patient knew they could get telephonic support from the plan, but they had to call in. None of them provided any kind of environmental interventions, home interventions. One did limited home assessment. So this is just a little bit about who our health committee is, who our members are. And given that in Massachusetts only 3% of the bills filed actually pass, why would you file legislation instead of approaching other ways of tackling this issue? Well, our first is that, as you can see, there isn't standardized care across the different kind of plans. So depending on what plan you're in, you're going to get different types of coverage. You may get better coverage or you may get worse coverage. So we wanted to just have sort of a floor of what everybody should be receiving if they have asthma. We also wanted to create a funding stream. When I started the Boston Urban Asthma with the Boston Urban Asthma Coalition in 1997, it was the sexy disease of the year, and there was a lot of grant funding for asthma education. Those health centers that had those grants no longer have that funding or those resources to do asthma education. And asthma education shouldn't be a grant-funded service that health centers are providing. More importantly, we saw it as a way to raise awareness and educate the public and our state legislatures about asthma, to get them engaged in the issue, and to use it as an organizing tool to bring more organizations into the coalition. So this is the third time we filed this bill, so we're in this for the long haul. We started in 2002, and a senator who cared about asthma approached us, wanted to release a report on asthma, asked for us and other groups in Boston across the state for information about what she should recommend that the state legislature do. And then out of that came some legislation that she drafted with support from us that looked at establishing a statewide registry and coverage for education and supplies. I won't get into too many of the details because I don't have a lot of time. That bill made it pretty far. People were actually more interested in a registry than in the asthma education piece of it, so the registry piece made it to the floor. We were actually more interested in the education piece and not the registry piece. So, and then in 2004, we refiled. That was the year that we passed the huge sweeping Health Care Reform Act, which kind of overshadowed everything else, and it didn't get passed. And then this year we have refiled a slightly different bill pairing asthma education with in-home assessment and environmental interventions. What this bill does, and I have fact sheets about our bill at the front here, I also have some copies of the Asthma Regional Council report, is it directs the Department of Public Health to develop a model framework for asthma management. So we're leaving the legislation kind of broad so that the Department of Public Health can really do a thorough review and make recommendations to insurers about what would be the minimum standard of care. It requires health insurers to provide provide reimbursement for asthma patient education and home-based environmental assessment and intervention. We had a hearing at the Committee on Public Health. We had some positive response from the committee, and so we're waiting for that to be reported out to go to the next committee. This is a multi-year effort. As I said, we don't have high hopes that it will pass. We just feel like each time we get a little smarter, each time we get more legislators who support our intent, and it's also part of a larger effort at the Boston Urban Asthma Coalition, which looks at environmental issues related to asthma. Other work of our health committee includes looking at co-pays for asthma medications, since they are very high, especially for people who have very low incomes, raising awareness among providers that a lot of these things can get reimbursed at this point, and hoping to increase their reimbursement rate, and then also supporting voluntary efforts of insurers to cover this on their own. So if you want more information, this is where you can find the report. If you want to contact our health committee chair, her information is up there, and also my information is up there. So thank you. Thank you.